League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, it's D Watkins with Salon TV, and today I'm joined by Emmy Award-winning actor John Turturro. You love him in films like The Big Lebowski, The Transformers Trilogy, HBO's The Night Of is one of my favorite. He Got Game, that which played in my house daily. Do the Right Thing, but in my house, Billy Sunday was there. But today we'll be talking about his newest film, Gloria Bell, where he plays Arnold, a really interesting guy who's trying his hand at love after weight loss and divorce. Is like how we're going to sum it up. We're not going to give too much
weight loss and divorce. Okay, yeah.
But so the film was a remake. Tell us how this project fell in your lap.
Well, the original movie is terrific. It's about a woman in the middle of her life. You know, no one really pays attention to her. She's divorced. The kids don't pay attention to her. Her job is in jeopardy. And she goes out dancing, which in Latin culture people do a lot. And she's, you know, kind of a brave woman looking to have another chance at love or have a relationship that would be meaningful for her. And she meets this guy who really likes her, but he hasn't broken away completely. He hasn't severed the cord from his dysfunctional relationship with his wife and his two daughters, who are really dependent on him. But I love the original, and then Julianne Moore was going to do it, and I never worked with Julianne, even though we were in The Big Lebowski. And and the director, Sebastian Lelio, he's wonderful, and he said he was going to remake it, the original guy. And because of him, I said, well, you know, I get to work with both of you. And I said, well, what can you tell me about the character that you would be helpful? And he said, well, he's a guy who keeps trying. Mm-hmm. He keeps trying, but he keeps failing. But he keeps trying, and he fails better, you know. So I thought, okay, I'll take a spin with you guys. And it was a really wonderful experience working with him, because the movie is about what happens between people.
Right.
You know, and it's not like one person's a superhero and the other person's a villain. And you see what people's capacity is to change or to make a change in their life. And some people are unable to do that. And so I thought it talks about people as human beings.
Yeah, for me, it had a lot of that everyday magic that sometimes we ignore. Yeah. And I think you guys captured it in a way. And you and Julianne Moore, you guys had a lot of chemistry. It seemed like you guys worked together.
Well, we worked together really well. You know, it's like I used to play basketball seriously, and I'm a basketball fan. But, you know, when there's a team that passes the ball, when you have actors who listen to each other and respond to each other, the space between the actors is created. But if you're great at what you do and I do my thing, but we're never really bouncing off of each other, you don't. The whole doesn't. You know, it's like 1 + 1 can equal 2, or it can equal 5, and that's what it is. And it's very relatable to a great sports team. When you see everyone functioning together, and so that's also in a story about a love story, it's really important that you put your attention on the other person, and then if that happens, then you're not thinking about yourself as much. And
that's why I didn't make it as a ball player.
Okay,
I play really good with people who understand that I need to score. As long as you know I need to score, great teammates.
That's okay. Right. Well, I would have passed you the ball. So, but I think there are teammates who make everybody else better. You know, you could
like
be a great
magics, the crystal.
Yeah, you can be a great defensive player too, and make everybody else better. And sometimes you need that person who does all the intangibles to have a good team. And without that, you don't have that kind of team.
Yeah, it seems like you guys have been working together for years. How do you prep How do you prep?
I prep everything is different.
To play a guy like Arnold, I was going to say. Because he's a different type of character.
Yeah, well, I do know some guys. A lot of the women in the movie would tell me they know lots of guys like that who say they're divorced, but they're really separated, but they're really living on the couch.
Right.
You know, maybe they have a little apartment, but they never go to it.
Right.
And I do know people who've been in dysfunctional relationships who it's not good. And they should get out of it. And some, it takes them years to get out of it. And sometimes they can never get out of it. And so, but I did think he was sincere mm-hmm. in what he was trying to do. But then he would, you know, he couldn't sustain it. You know, he would always get pulled back in. It's like getting pulled back into a life of crime or pulled back into a life of drugs. But, you know, everyone has their addictions or things that they feel safe.
Yeah,
they feel,
it's comfortable.
Yeah, you feel comfortable being miserable, uh-huh. or you feel comfortable being, you know, being abused or something, where, and you just have too much guilt to be able to say, listen, I'm here for a certain amount of time. I deserve something.
Right, being happy is scary, and trying new stuff is scary.
You can have that within your own family. You can have someone, you can have a problem sister or brother, and all of a sudden, you know, you have to be able to, you can help them, you can be supportive, you can be even more, but you have to be able to take care of yourself.
Oh, he can stay in his failed marriage, but he knows what he's gonna get. He can try something. Gloria can take him on this amazing ride.
He has it right there.
Bring him up here and drop him even further than he's ever been.
That's right, and I think that happens to people all the time. Like they get used to doing, even people who are successful at something, you get used to doing the same thing. And it's like a singer. They sing certain, you know, a certain repertoire, and then they try to do something else. No one likes it. Maybe they like it, and then they say, "Well, I'm going to go back to my, you know, the thing that everybody likes." And sometimes they're miserable doing that. You know, it's nice to. I mean, people don't change, but they can grow.
Right.
You can grow. You know, I mean, I don't believe these movies that say, "Well, I started out this way, and now I'm a different." You're not a different person. You're born a certain way. And then you either grow, and then within that you can make changes within your life.
Do you have a safe space as an artist, like something that you always feel comfortable going back to, like a type of role or?
No, I feel comfortable when I'm in a human situation. You know what I mean? When I'm doing stuff that's really like Transformers and stuff, that's like kind of almost like a quick sketch.
Right.
You know, it's so heightened, and that's okay for a little bit, but I don't live there all the time, you know. But if I have time to think about something and it's a big role, like in 10 hours in the night of,
right.
I had like, you know, 4 months to prepare. And I spoke with all kinds of lawyers. And I even had found a lawyer who's a really star lawyer in Brooklyn, Kenny Montgomery, his name is. He's a very handsome. He looks like Idris Elba, you know. He's like a star.
Right.
But he took me through the whole process, and in such a succinct way that I realized what it cost him to be good, and that my character—that's the lawyer he could be if he had the confidence in himself. And then I had other lawyers that were closer to the character, but Kenny. He really, really, really helped me, like in a way that I was, you know, because he's just eloquent guy, and he took me through why my character didn't want to go to court.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because you hold someone's life in your hands, and so
it's delicate.
Yeah. So little by little, I put together that, but it was very well written, and but that I felt like I was, but it. And I connected with Riz. We had a really good relationship. And that was just I got lost doing it eventually.
It's interesting.
So that's nice when you have that experience.
It's interesting that you talk about that human element. You feel comfortable being human.
Right.
With Arnold, it's almost like gender reversal because we used to see in films where women have all of the baggage and they can't get away from their situation.
Right.
But he was that person.
Well, let's face it. In a lot of relationships, you know, like marriages, a lot of times it's the man that, you know, shoots himself in the foot, you know what I mean? So it's nice to see both, I think. I think it's nice to see different kinds of things represented in movies, because if you don't see that, then you think there are movies that give you the answers, and there's movies like some of Spike's movies, for example, or a movie like this, that asks the question, you know, that asks questions. Because in the end, you got to enjoy the moment of your life, you know. And I think it's nice to see different kinds of things represented, because all of us are going to go through that
right
in life. You're going to have young relationships and young love, you know, best friends, and then later on you're saying, well, that person, I outgrew that person. I don't. And some people you never do. Some people you stay, you know, friends with because you have something essential.
Right.
You know? I have a few of those friends.
Dennis really passionate. There's a lot of love in the film too. And
yeah,
like, I appreciated that because, you know, I'm a professor and I teach these little 25-year-olds and these little 22-year-olds, and they think, oh my God, once you turn to 30, you're a dinosaur. And once you turn 40, you're ancient. And I'm like, yo, you gotta, there's a whole world out there. Stop putting us in boxes.
Well, I think that what happens is, you know, as life accelerates with technology, everyone thinks they're inventing something new. They're inventing nothing new.
Right.
All these things have been existed throughout history. And to understand what went on before is going to tell you what's going to happen, you know, in the future too. And, you know, I come from a world, like, I like to work with people who are older than me and younger than me, because sometimes the more you know, the more you know what you do not know. And you say, okay, I still have a lot to learn. And so, you know, when you pass things on to each other, it's like a great trumpet player passing something on to someone else, or a great singer. You know, someone can be great, and they can be 75, 80 years old, and then you say, you know, you have a lot to learn from those people, you know. They've sustained their life, you know. So not that they should be the dominant ones, and not that you should be closed-minded, but I think that that's, you lose a lot when you don't, you know. People used to do big apprenticeships, you know, when they were like sculptors, like for 15 years.
Right.
So you were the sculptor and you had like a 15-year-old young guy working with you for like 15 years, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know. And it's actually, it's nice when there's, when the ball is passed back and forth.
It might have been Norman Mailer, skipping me right now, but I think he said, I didn't really get good at writing until I was 60. You know what I mean?
I have to tell you right now, like, I'm an older actor right now, and there's certain things maybe I wouldn't do the same way. But I think overall, I'm a better actor now than I was then.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I definitely think, I think I've gotten better as an actor.
What was your view of the world?
I think it's, and I think if you talk to a lot of actors, you know, there were things I did when I was young I'm really proud of, you know what I mean? But overall, I don't fall into, you know, sometimes I would work too hard, I would show too much, or this and that, and I've enjoyed, you know. I mean, an athlete can't do that, unfortunately. By the time they know too much, their body lets them down, you know? So that's the great thing about being in the creative field.
But when you were like 20, was that like your view of the world, or is this something that you just picked up with time?
This no, whole I idea. Always liked, I was always interested in history, what went on before me, you know, the evolution of music, film. And no, I never thought I had the answers. I felt I had a impulse that I needed to want to express myself. And I didn't never knew anyone in the movies. It wasn't until I went to the theater, I'd seen movies, I loved movies, but when I saw some plays, I saw, believe it or not, Ben Vereen in Jesus Christ Superstar and Pippin. And there was something about him, because I could, he wasn't that far away from me. And I was like, he just like kind of touched me or something. And I was like, wow, maybe I could, you know, maybe not dance as good as him or something like that, or sing as good as, but there was, he was so inviting in what he did. And then I saw some, you know, straight plays too, you know, without music. And that opened my brain up in a way. I mean, I always loved music. I love dancing.
But you happen to say you can dance, right? You can
dance.
Yeah,
I've danced. I mean, I studied dance. I've danced in a lot of things. I used to go, you know, when I was a kid, I did all those, you know, all those disco.
I think
dances.
I read something or saw something that said you take salsa lessons frequently.
Yeah,
or,
yeah, I do. I take it. But I did it for another movie.
Teach the class sometimes.
Yeah, no, I don't teach the class. No. Salsa is hard. That's hard, you know. But I love movement because I think movement is revealing. Mm-hmm. And a great, great dancer, like they just did a whole thing on the Nicholas Brothers. Mm-hmm. You know who those guys were?
No.
They were in the 30s. Like, they danced with Fred Astaire. These two black brothers. But these guys were like, they were, if you have, they just made a documentary about it. They're amazing. And like Fred Astaire, those guys, or Savion Glover. I like flamenco dance. I like any kind of dancing. Because especially, you know, when you watch people dancing and it's not choreographed and they're not dancers, you get to see their, you know, their personality,
right.
You know what I mean? And I just think there's something liberating about movement. And so I do use that in my work.
Man, if I show my dance moves, that's it. His personality's horrible.
Yeah, no. But even if you're not the greatest dancer, it shows you, like, somebody can do a little thing with their finger and you're like, wow, that's kind of interesting, you know? I mean, I did this dance in this movie, Italian movie, Mia Madre, with this very heavyset woman. She was a good dancer.
Uh-huh.
And it was like an Arabic thing. There was no choreo. We just danced. And we did, like, this really crazy interpretive dance with each other. And it was fun. But then we had to do it again and again. And I was thinking, wow, one time, it's okay. But, you know. But movement is, like, when I did... Not do the right thing. When I did Jungle Fever,
okay,
all right, like I did Barton Fink, and I had this big hairdo,
yeah,
and it was, and then so Larry Cherry, the guy who cuts my hair, do the right thing. I said, Larry, keep
the curly top.
I said, give me the fade, and he invented that. It was like a with a big fade, and I had all these curls, and it was like a big mushroom cloud. And we looked at Kenny Walker, who used to play for the Knicks,
right.
And I used the way I walked in that movie. I based it on Kenny Walker, because Kenny Walker used to have this walk. He walked like he bounced on it. They used to call him Skywalker.
Walked on his toes.
Yeah, and so. When I did it on the set, Spike was laughing. Oh, I get it, Walker. You know, because I thought, wow, that would be interesting to see this guy. Because he looked like he was so open, Kenny Walker. He looked like he had, like, there was nothing defensive about the way he walked. And I've tried things like that. Sometimes it's you have to do it, and then you have to bring it back a little bit because it's maybe too much, you know. And
it's great to see Spike get an Oscar.
I
know it feels good.
I was very, very, very happy.
Film lovers everywhere.
I was very happy.
Your character in Do the Right Thing taught me about racism and microaggressions and just the difference in communities and how these things work.
Right.
Pano.
Well, you know, when Spike asked me to do the movie, which I like I said, I grew up the opposite way that he grew up.
Right.
And so I said, well, he said, well, who do you want to play? And I said, I want to play the racist. So, because that's what the movie's about. And I said, it's important that that character is human and you see him as frustrated and limited in some of his ways, but it's important that you see that he's a real guy.
He has his own problems outside
He has his own problems.
Worrying about what his friend says about him.
Yeah, his friends.
Like that.
He doesn't want to work in a pizzeria.
Right.
I worked in a pizzeria and the guys were like miserable. I worked with a few guys and I was like, wow, this is interesting. So once we started doing the movie, I started bringing him and Ernest more things that wasn't even in the script. Like, well, a lot of us did that. And that kind of, you know, it was hard at first to rehearse with that, with everybody. But then once we all got to know each other, I felt like, okay, this is real. This is in the world. And we're going to, you know, do it. And it was an exciting movie to make. Except for the end. The end was a little...
It was tough.
It was a little upsetting.
Yeah.
And a few people were a little... got tense.
You got to tell those hard truths.
Yeah. But I think if you don't do that, and you're always pussyfooting around, you always say, well, there's the nice white guy. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, well, some of those people are. But maybe some of those people aren't. You know what I mean? And, you know, this is the story of our country.
Exactly.
It's the story of our country for 400, you know, years.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you grow up with people and you have interaction, you have to know people as people. Right. And then you say, okay, this is a wide variety. I can never group one kind of person in this color, religion, whatever. But if you don't have that, then it's all theoretical. And people revert to their fears of other, you know.
So all these different groups of people in that film, and they all had their flaws, which was also like.
Well, Spike is, he was attacked for that movie. Lots of people don't realize. He took a lot of, you know, and I was worried. I was thinking, wow, are people going to really get upset when they see the movie? And then it was just the opposite.
Right.
People were happy to see it, you know, so.
Probably made corporate America look at Hollywood.
Well, they opened it up for a while,
right.
And then and then John Singleton got in there, and you know the Hughes brothers, but then it didn't continue. And Spike, because he wanted to push the envelope, I wound up, we're really good friends, but I used to I've defended him many times, and because I know him as a full human being,
right?
You know what I mean? Strengths, weaknesses, I know what kind of person he is.
Who's the better ball player, you or Spike?
Well, he plays baseball. He doesn't play basketball. Yeah. We used to play basketball with a bunch of us guys. Robin Harris, who may passed away.
Yeah, I love Robin Harris. He was hilarious.
He would have had a huge career.
Huge career.
A good player. He was a good athlete, too, good athlete. But, there was a couple guys who could play ball.
So 2019, does Pino meet a black girl from the neighborhood and become a Black Lives Matter activist, or does Pino a Trump supporter?
Oh, well, that's more interesting.
Make Brooklyn great again. Is he walking around talking about?
Make Brooklyn great again. Wow. Well, I don't know. I don't know about that. That's really interesting. Yeah, I could see him going in either direction. I could see him going in either direction.
Because, like you said, people grow.
He could have.
We got to give people the space to grow.
Yeah. Also, there's a difference between Queens and Brooklyn. So you don't know if he lived in Brooklyn. Bensonhurst. He lives in Brooklyn, right? So Queens is different. The Queens that I grew up, it was a lot of people wanted to get to the city, and other people, they would only go to Long Island. Mm-hmm. They would never go to the city because they would be like, wow, the city is dangerous. And it was dangerous, but it was also exciting. So, but I don't know. That would be really, I'm writing something now that has a lot of those themes in it, and that Spike would be the executive producer if I get the money to do it, that deals with some of that stuff.
That's going to be amazing. Yeah. So Gloria Bell is in theaters now.
Yep.
Tell everyone why they should go see it.
I think it's a movie that celebrates, appreciating the moment. You have to appreciate what you have, and it celebrates life, and that the moment that's at hand is to be embraced and not to live in the future or in the past, and that you're never too old to try.
And John's brilliant in the film, as always. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Pleasure's mine.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Everyone has a fave Wendy's Frosty flavor. And when you're choosing from chocolate or vanilla, it's not that hard. But now there's all new Frosty Swirls and Frosty Fusions. So try picking your fave from Oreo Brownie Fusion, Pop-Tarts Strawberry Fusion, Strawberry Swirl, Brownie Batter Swirl, Caramel Swirl, and Caramel Crunch Fusion. Not so easy now, huh? For a fresh way to Frosty, gotta be Wendy's. Open till midnight or later.
At participating U.S. Wendy's, hours may vary by location. Oreo is a trademark of Mondelez International Group. Pop-Tarts is a trademark of Kellogg North America Co. LLC. Used with permission.